Welcome to this episode of Saintly Witnesses. Another episode here today, this evening. I got a real great guest, a local guest from Houston, on the poet, spoken word artist named Quiet Storm. They're going to come through and provide some really good information about their poetry experience, their journaling, expressive writing classes, and all that stuff that they do in the local area to enrich the mind of so many people that they perform under. So thank you so much for joining and sharing in this vulnerable space about your words and your life and your words.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
Sorry.
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. And so sometimes I usually start these things on how we get acquainted. And so I can go back to when I was a clinical mental health intern getting my master's degree in social work. And I was at the illustrious SHAPE Community Center, Pan-African Beacon of Light here in Houston, Texas. And just stumbled upon the little library that they have, or one of the many libraries that they have in the building. And I saw Quiet Storm back there, her and another. One of the elders in the community back there engaging in like some real intimate expressive writing creative workshop that was like really transformative and like vulnerable and intimate in their approach and like their dialogue. And so I just sat in for the remainder of the time, and it was after that whole hour and a half session that Saturday, I walked away with a newfound headspace, a newfound sense of purpose and ministry for like work, my own life, how to engage better with other people. And so that was over like almost 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. And we're following each other on Instagram and whatnot. And I constantly see her posting her content, her book, memoir, and like different enriching and edifying like spoken word speeches and events that she does, and just really wanted to get on and elevate her platform and her work that she do. So here she go right now. So let's get started with the first question. I guess the first question is always a natural question I would want to ask somebody who is a poet or a writer. Did you come from like a literary background? And if so, if not, like regardless of how did you get started in like writing?
This is good because these are things that I really don't talk about that often. And I started writing. I don't know exactly when. I'm not really good with dates. I do remember my mom giving me journals or little diaries, as a young kid, and just she just always gave me those little diaries encouraging writing, and I would use them. Sometimes it would just be one or two pages used, and then, sometimes it would be, half the little small booklet or whatnot. But I really didn't really start writing until I got into college. All of my friends were artists, so I decided to join this group called Outspoken Poetry Society. That was back in like 2009 at Jackson State University in Jackson, Mississippi. Because my friends were artists at the time and I was just trying to learn how to speak up, I knew I can write like essays and papers and stuff like that, but I didn't know I could write poetry until auditioning for Outspoken. And one of my friends at the time was like, "Oh, I can help you since you did not make the audition. I can help you with your craft." And so we spent the year and she did that. And so and that's when I joined Outspoken. And then I guess getting into it, the more you write and the more you become better, I took that serious. And I realized it was a gift. And so when I realized it was a gift, I started to take it a little bit more seriously. And, just, I understood the message and things like that. And so that's how I actually started writing, just from wanting to do something different, wanting to challenge myself to, step outside my comfort zone to get better in another area. And then realizing, oh, wow, this is a gift. You know, this
Yeah.
is what you can do.
That's good too. Like how it started from little books and like little journals and diaries that your mother gave you, and how it was nurtured all through this time, and people brought it out of you, and now you're nurturing your gift full effect now. So that's good to see.
Interesting.
So in your like work that you do, and like your spoken word poetry, and even the book that you wrote that we're gonna touch on later on, is there like a recurring theme that you try to instill within your work, and why you focus on that topic so much?
A recurring theme, maybe seeking truth, understanding duality within yourself, understanding who we are or who you are as a person, you know, not just what you call yourself, not just what you say, this is what you do, not what you do, not what you call yourself, but you know, your character, your, you know, your morals, your values, who you really are, your core. You know, and so that's something that I guess you can say that's a reoccurring theme, because I strive to do that, and try to make that point if I'm not writing, maybe like a love something or a social justice something. But I do, this is a great question, because I do kind of find myself still kind of incorporating that self-reflection in some of my pieces. Yeah. So that's a recurring thing.
That's a good point too, which kind of leads us into our next question. You know, when we talk about songwriting and poetry and like all these expressive arts, it involves a degree of introspection and self-awareness and like understanding who you are as a person. So how do you incorporate like your own unique personal experiences into your writings and poems? And what do you hope people get from those life events that you went through when you wrote?
All of my poetry is about me or something that I've been through or experienced, seen, whatever. I've had some sort of contact with that emotion. I hope people receive what I say based off the message, because it's all coming from just me as speaking my truth. Just I've learned to be vulnerable and being okay with being the example, I shall say. And so I'm okay with sharing, you know, personal things that I've gone through. I may not in particularly name a person, place, or thing, but the situation and what I hope people gain from the messages that I try to share or that I get across is that it's okay to be who you are. It's okay to do what you do, but you gotta check your character. You gotta check your morals. You have to check your values. How are you doing these things? If you know, kicking it with somebody, what's your motives behind certain things that you're doing? Question things. You know, don't just take things for what it is, you know, and so just examining a deeper self, a deeper self-awareness, I shall say, you know, and so that's what I hope. It's more like a conscious interrupt. That's my term I like to use. Just a conscious interrupt, just to make you second guess whatever it is, you know, just a reflection. That's kind of been a term for the week. So just reflecting, you know, on whatever it is. And yeah, that's all I
Okay.
can say about that. But yeah,
That's
that's it.
a good perspective to dwell on. So going back to like your own unique personal experiences, you even wrote a book called Letting My Scent Linger with Words, A Memoir of Her. What inspired you to write that? And like what are some of the topics and themes of the poems or in the book?
Okay, that's a good question. Well, the book was already written. I chopped it up into four pieces because that was all my work from 2009 up until 2017, 2018. So the first volume of my book, Letting My Scent Linger with Words, that's just work from probably college, from 2009 till about 2013, maybe. And so the book was already written. I just didn't know. So when I was at church, I go to the Lighthouse Church in Humble, on 59 and Rankin Road. And
I'm familiar with that. I grew up in Oklahoma.
okay, yeah, and that's I attend that church. And so back in 2016 or 17, we did a vision board party, and it was with the singles group. And so we did the vision board party and stuff, and I saw that like y'all can see it, but on my vision board I had these books. It was a whole collection of about maybe 20 or 30 books on this page, and I said, oh, I'll just have a book collection then. And so just keeping that up on my vision board and just Or it's a vision board, but just keeping that on my up on my wall. It just happened to be a four part, series or a collection of four, and so I just broke it down into those four parts. But all of that work has already been written from 2009 to 2017 or 18, and I'm just sharing it, And what I've also realized is that, when you have a direct impact, or when you are intentional about your work, it's timeless. Because that stuff is old, man. And so it surprises me because it's very relevant today. We talk about that with, anyways, I'm just rambling at this point, but it just amazes me of how that happened,
I like that I like the point that you mentioned that, stuff that's good topics, good content that is like transformative and like truly like mesmerizing and captivating is timeless, and you can't define it by a year or a date. It's gonna hit and resonate regardless of the time period and for years and years and years to come. Just like a lot of albums, like Stevie Wonder, so to speak. Like his albums were like 50 plus years old, 50 years old, but they still themes, the topics, the arrangements, the
Some people
artist
still get
himself.
chills,
It's just powerful. So what's some of the topics that you touch on in the book without like spoiling all the big poems?
Well, I actually have one right here. So yeah, so this is my first volume of my book, Letting My Scent Linger with Words, a memoir of her. And I did have topics. And the first topic was just about me, Quiet Storm and Jasmine, or Jasmine and Quiet Storm. So these poems in this first volume are just perspectives and outlooks of me, what I was, just perspectives and outlooks of me, And I can say that most of these poems are about me, obviously, because it's a memoir. But they each tell, a different story of the time period that I was in during that thing, during that session. I hope I'm answering the question correctly. It's really just who Jasmine is and who Quiet Storm is. That's the way I can do that. Because you get one photo of me way back when. And so, that's my first time sharing that particular photo, and and a large everybody, you know, the world to see that. So it's just Jasmine talking about Jasmine and Quiet Storm and the perspectives of her. That's really it. I don't know how to like explain that in the way. I'm sorry.
No, you good. I think that's a good way to explain it. You know, it's like like you said in earlier question, you know, we want people to understand the duality of like your identity and your being. And I think
Yeah.
they kind of go back to it, you know, who you are and also the person who you come to cultivate and grow into Quiet Storm. It perfectly conveys like those two identities. So I'm wondering in your time as like a writer, poet, and even like a personal motivational-ish speaker who like the spoken word information. Did you have any in particular poets or like artists or writers that you find inspiration from?
probably two people. Normally I really don't have an answer to that question, but now that I've gone through a little bit more, these two individuals I really see have a has had a really good inspiration on me. One of them is Edgar Allan Poe, because I just really enjoy Edgar Allan Poe, his stories and his poems, and also his just outlook on life, his perspective. And the advisor, he never called himself the advisor for Outspoken, but I forced him to advise me. You know, and so his name is Mr. Clyde McGinnis. He lives in Jackson, Mississippi, and he's a writer. He's a poet. He introduced me to a lot of different poets out there in Jackson, Mississippi. And so, and he also published me in one of his magazines, which is archived in at the library up there. Black Magnolia magazine. And so Mr. Clyde McGinnis, so him. And he just challenged me in a way that was very directly indirect, or yeah, it was directly indirect. That was our relationship, because he didn't want to advise anyone, and he didn't want that responsibility. You know, I guess for someone else's, you know, whether they take him serious or not, or something like that. And I got that. But I did. And that's how I advanced as an artist, because I took his writing class. I took his creative writing class and would go to his office often. But that's, I guess, can be one of the most inspirations for me to continue to develop myself as a writer and to continue to challenge myself and to read. And to read different material and to read all types of, I mean, whatever. And so when he would challenge me, I would take those things. And that's what keeps me motivated, because, I mean, you can get inspiration from so many other things, but it's always good to have a different perspective of that same thing or idea and be able to creatively, express it in a way that can be received. You know what I'm saying? Because you're able to, you're reading all of this different type of material, so you're getting different perspectives. So now you can just formulate your own after you have, you get what I'm saying? And
Yeah, for sure.
just formulate to what you are trying to get the point across, or something like that, you know. So yeah, that's, yeah.
Okay. I never would have figured you were an Edgar Allan Poe fan, but that's good to know. So as a writer, I know sometimes when you people write things, and especially since you wrote stuff dating back to like 2008, 9 when you were in college, you might have looked back and felt some sort of like tension, internal tension, or felt challenged probably. I don't know, but have you ever wrote something, or either looked back on something that you wrote and kind of felt some internal like tension, hesitance, or some struggle within you, conflict, and how did you ultimately overcome?
Okay. No, because I was intentional with everything that I wrote, whether it was about exes, whether it was about somebody. And that's when I realized I'm very direct with my words, and I love how to play with that and, creatively talk about somebody, but very poetically, and I love the play on words. I've had a duo with a friend of mine back in what 2011. We did this, it was for this a showcase called Exposed. And we have themes, and this theme was the miseducation of love. And so the title of our poem was This Is Not a Love Poem. And what we did was we invited all of our exes to that show and performed it in front of them. So no, I don't regret anything that I've done with my poetry, because everything is fun. I make it fun for me, and I really enjoy that, but no, I don't regret anything. Now, there are some poems that I have written that I don't share or have not shared as much as others, because of the real vulnerability of it, or the content of it, but no, never regret writing anything.
Gotcha. It's just you just write what it is what it is. It's just straight, it's straight no chaser in your face, real.
Very raw. And some people don't like that, but that's the way my delivery is. That's just what it is. It's
No,
not for the faint of heart.
you gotta be unapologetic in your art. So that's cool. So my last question I'm wanting to know, like the creative writing workshop that you did, how I initially like got acquainted with you, and you've done that in other places as well, and you do speaking across the city and like events and seminars and any, but basically anywhere people can like book you, you can possibly come. So when you go back and have like these public opportunities to have spoken word opportunities, what are the topics that you want to address, and what do you hope that people get from them?
Well, if it's my workshops, the art of self-expressions, the art of self-expression, if it's that particular workshop, then we're talking about that, and I have a set curriculum for that. So that's 5 or 10 week curriculum that I provide in that space. And each weekend or each day is a different question in the realm of the five selves, what I call the five selves: self-awareness, self-communication, self-preservation, self-care, and self-healing. And so, based around those five selves, though each self has a particular topic, and so in a set of questions just to start a dialogue, kind of like a prompt. And so, that's how that will go. If it's just a speaking engagement, or me doing poetry somewhere, I guess it would depends on their thing. The last thing that I guess the last big thing that I've done was at the rally for Free Palestine over off of they had this visual off of Canal Street at that park over there a few weeks back. And so I did a poem there, but that theme was, Free Palestine or something like that. But my poem, it was just centered around the theme of, I guess, even though all of these things has happened around us, you still, and you have life and breath, you can still have the opportunity to create something better for yourself, even though these things happen. Just a glimpse of hope That's what it was. It was a poem built or centered around hope. It was to give hope. So yes, some of my work do have a theme for the theme that the people are providing, but also it does have a theme within itself. Some of them do, but I really try to help answer that.
Yes, for
Anyway.
sure. I like that you lent your voice to a political issue that's like of most importance right now, what's going on in the Middle East. And it's good that you showed some solidarity with that crucial topic. So that's good to know that you were able to. It's good to see that your art is available. And it's like it could be mass produced. I definitely appreciated you coming on and talking about like your art and the art of spoken word and just getting to know you a little bit more. I pray that you continue to grow as an artist and grow in your love for humanity and love for God and everybody else, neighbor, basically. And I pray that you continue to be allowed this gift that you have and that you nourished to be an instrument of so much love and mercy and just joy and fun that you can connect with other people with.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for
Yeah.
allowing me to be a part of your podcast, man. And thanks for asking me and reaching out. I appreciate it. I
For
don't take stuff
sure.
like this lightly. This was fun. And I like the questions that you ask, because it allows me to do some reflecting in myself and, see how far and see how much that I've grown and stuff like that. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the best good things I got from the interview. A major takeaway is that life is like a continual journey, and we all on this pathway of healing, self-discovery, and self-awareness. And I think from just being in your session for an hour and a half one Saturday, I could definitely attest that like your art form definitely provides people with a good opportunity to understand more about yourself and how to relate to other people. And I think as humanity is all interdependent and we all depend on each other. We're not just one
Absolutely.
person. And like your voice and your gift definitely helps us better be stewards of God's love. So thank you. And you guys continue to pray and support the work that Choirstone does locally, and pray that she continues to do things with like the mediums and outlets that she does here locally so that she can have a larger platform and influence other people with the words of empowerment. So you guys can tune in to the next episode of Sanity Witnesses.